Don't you find, Reverend, a correlation then between this anger, this hatred, which I will put into the category of massive negativity? Don't you find a correlation between that and their ability to get possessed or taken
absolutely.
Over?
Absolutely. When people give in to negativity, when they begin to harbor things that are toxic and injurious to the human condition, this is what evil feeds on. Evil must have nourishment. It must have negative sustenance. And so the people that we help are people who didn't get help. If most of these people could have talked to their priest, their rabbi, their pastor, gone to a counselor, a therapist, and worked through it, if even a good friend would have listened to them talk about their trauma, they probably wouldn't have needed an exorcist. But in most cases, that did not happen. You know, George, the common thing I hear is, I never thought anybody would listen to me, or I've never told anyone this, or if I did, they wouldn't listen. And so people, they internalize that. And, for example, if you take somebody who has been physically abused, sexually or emotionally, as a child, and they have no one to talk to, they have no resolution, over time, that anger compounds to terrible rage.
All right, let's go back a little bit before we get into this evil. And I want you to fully describe for us, Reverend, if you can. I'm sure you remember your very first exorcism.
Oh, I have no problem remembering that one. I was speaking at a Christian youth meeting. A young lady walked up to me afterwards, 15-year-old girl, and she said, "I don't believe in God." I said, "Well, all right. Do you believe in the devil?" She said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Why?" And she said, "I have sex with the devil." Well, my first reaction was, this kid says has seen some strange movies or has some weird fantasies or just wants attention. She said, "No, I have sex with the devil." And there was such a matter-of-fact way that she expressed herself. I said, "Well, then I'd like to talk to the devil." I was pretty abrupt about it, not realizing what was going to follow. And, you know, her body went through these spasmodic gestures, and this voice took her over and said, "She is mine. She belongs to me. I own her body. I claim it." And it was a spirit of what's known as incubus, which cohabits with a human. And that was quite an abrupt introduction to exorcism, let me tell you. Fortunately, there was a man there who had done something like this many years before as a missionary, and so he fed me a little bit of information, but basically I was on my own.
How do we know, Reverend, that the people aren't changing their voices? I mean, I can go from, though I'm controlling it, I can go from talking to you this way to, "I'm going to get you, Bob, and possess you." Okay? You know, we've got a guy that calls our program. He's called Oscar. He claims that he's the son of Satan. I don't know who he is, but he's got this demonic voice with him. How do we know that some of these people that claim to be possessed really are possessed?
Well, when I meet with these people in person, I have an opportunity to spend some time finding out their life history as they tell it, and talk to them apart from the voice. And the introduction of the voice is almost always at a place where you're trying to help the person, to get them to confess faith in God, to get them to forgive someone who has hurt them. And by experience, you learn the things that a demon would do that the person just would not do. And, you know, I've done more exorcisms than any living person on the planet, 10,000 and counting. So after a while, you learn to spot the fakes. I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and this guy was at the back of the room in our seminar, and I walked up to him, and he shot me this evil glance and did that low-voiced growl and did his best. And I just looked at him, and I said, "Okay, what's the big deal?" And he said, "Well, I'm a Satanist, and I'm here to see if I can fool you, you know." I'm not saying I have never been fooled, but I think it's pretty rare because, for example...
And if you have been, it's darn good acting, I bet.
Very good acting. Well, you know, and very often these people speak in languages that the person doesn't know very fluently, and there may be other people in the room that can interpret the language. We've had that happen.
Right.
And we've also had extraordinary displays of superhuman strength, and not just a quick adrenaline rush either.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you can't fake that.
Well, you know, I've seen situations where a woman weighing less than 100 pounds would pick up six or eight men, I mean, big men, and just throw them around the room as they would try to control her. And I remember one man in Australia took 11 of the biggest men we could find in the room hanging on to him. One man on his head, one man on each arm, each leg, around his torso, around his chest, hanging on to every body part. And they could barely control him.
Why do these demons possess? I mean, I've heard they want their soul. It sounds like they want more than that.
Well, what they want is a physical way to bring about evil in the world. It's real simple. Satan can't start a war. He can't rape or kill a person because he's an incorporeal, invisible spirit being. So are demons. They're intangible and live in another dimension. But if they enter into humans, then the human instruments can do the killing, the pillaging, the raping, the murdering, and all of that. So it's simply a way to effect evil on a human plane with human action.
So it's almost as if the human body becomes the host to this parasite.
Exactly. And this is how Satan seeks to thwart the good purposes of love, of God, of positive things in our world by, as the scripture says and Christ said in John 10:10, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And he needs tangibility, some objective means of expression to accomplish that.
I got an email today, Reverend, from someone who, fitting, because they knew you were on the program today, and they said, George, why do you talk about the devil? Why don't you talk about God? And I guess my rationale for that is the devil is so darn evil in a very bizarre, fascinating way. I think more people are apt to listen when you talk about that. Am I right?
Well, you know, you don't have to look any further than the silver screen. I mean, the genre of horror movies that explore the darker side of human behavior. In fact, all movies. It's the villain often who's the most popular. And unfortunately, we're fascinated with that as human beings. We're not as fascinated by good news as we are bad news. Just watch the news at 11.